This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Walls are closing in the David case. They really, really are, because an arrest has been made. LAPD robbery homicide just pulled David's friend out of his mother's house in Montana. Neo Langston. We talked about this guy way back. This is the friend of Neo, 23 years old, a Twitch streamer who ran in David's circle, arrested Thursday on a felony warrant for failing to appear as a witness. I think this is the one they've been talking about, except they'd labeled this person as a female early on. And he's like, who is that woman who was, it wasn't a woman. It was this guy. By last Friday, he was sitting in an L.A. jail on $60,000 bail. And here's what matters. The same unit that tracked Neo down in Helena, Montana. That's LAPD's robbery homicide division. Is the same unit investigating the death of 15-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez. A case in which David has been identified as a suspect but has not been charged. So to be absolutely clear up front, David has not been arrested or charged with any crime. He's legally presumed innocent, but the investigation around him is intensifying. And since his friend didn't show up to the grand jury, they went and arrested him and pulled him in. It's pulling people closest to him to get in front of that jury, whether they want to talk or not. Yeah. There's a lot we're going to get into here, and I want to get your thoughts on this case in the comment section on YouTube or on our Hit It or on our Substack channel, hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link is in the description. It's on the bottom of your screen right now, right there. See, there it is. If you're looking at us on YouTube, there, right there. The link is in the description. Like I said, join us over there. It's free. There's no paywall. And you can get into all of our conversations and before everybody else, because our videos over on Substack, they post a day before they go to YouTube, before every place else. So if you want to get into the conversation first and have your opinion heard and interact with me directly here in the studio, please do join that that Substack channel. All right, let's talk about who Neo Langston is, who prosecutors apparently needed and why they needed him badly enough to send cops across state lines, and what this tells us about where this case is actually headed, shall we? Neo Langston was a popular Twitch streamer under the handle, Neo the Asian. He and David share similar origins. Both came up in the gaming world. David started making Fortnite montages on YouTube before pivoting to music. Oh, the talent. Neo built a following streaming. These weren't casual acquaintances. Photos show the two together, and their friendship was documented on social media. According to reporting, Neo was kicking back at his mom's cozy Montana home before police paid him a surprise visit on Thursday. His mother, Cynthia, bought that Helena property in March of 2025, roughly 6 months before Celeste's body was discovered in David's Tesla. Whether Neo was hiding out or just visiting family, the result was the same. Cop showed up and Neo left in handcuffs. Now, you may remember a bit more about Neo here because remember when they found the body? Remember when the private investigator who went into the house, who was hired by the owner of the house, and he said he had a bunch of security footage and information about who was driving that Tesla, who was moving that Tesla. Not necessarily with the body in the Tesla. That's not on video as far as we know. But who was coming and going from that Tesla, the speculation, the very, very strong speculation. We even talked about it on the air a little bit with Jennifer Coffendeffer. It was this guy. He was the one, allegedly, that had moved that car around a bit. Now, whether he knew there was a body in the frunk of the Tesla, that's a guess. That's up for interpretation. We don't really know the answer to that. But he had something going on there. And it could have just been, hey, I'm on the road right now doing the shows. Can you move my car around so we don't get it towed or ticketed or who knows? Maybe that was the plan. And this guy screwed it up royally. And then they ended up getting into the impound lot to which they found the body. Had it just been sitting on the streets of the Hollywood Hills, maybe it'd still be there, just kind of being shuffled around from spot to spot. I don't know. Something to think about, though. The charge here is a felony. Online records show Nia was booked around 11:30 p.m. Friday and is being held on $60,000 bail. Failure to appear as a material witness in a homicide investigation is not a parking ticket. Prosecutors don't chase people to Montana for witnesses that don't matter. It's not being taken lightly. This is where things get complicated, because back in November, we learned something critical about this investigation. LAPD homicide detectives identified a second suspect in the death of Celeste Rivas, someone law enforcement says could be involved before, during, and after her death. That's not language you use for a bystander. That's language you use for someone allegedly in it from the beginning. Is this that someone? Hello? Is it Neo you're looking for? Did he move the Tesla around with the body in the frunk? What did he know about the death that we're gleaning to? Tell me what we're gonna find when we question him in the police station. And I want to tell you so much. I don't know what's happening here. I don't know what Neo's involvement is. And it's not Neo the artist either. It's Neo, not Neo, Neo, just so you're aware. So you're not confusing it for the R&B artist, Neo. He's from Arkansas. Anyway, here's what's been reported about that second suspect. A central element of the investigation focuses on a trip David reportedly took to a remote area of Santa Barbara County in the middle of the night last spring. Based on conversations with sources close to the case, investigators believe Rivas's body may have been in the vehicle during this trip. Digital evidence from the Tesla appears to indicate that the second suspect may have also been present in the vehicle. So according to those sources, we're talking about a middle of the night drive, a midnight drive to the middle of nowhere with what investigators believe was a body in the car and possibly two people in that Tesla. It's amazing what cars can tell you these days. Now add the physical evidence. Police reportedly found an unused burn cage incinerator and a chainsaw inside of David's Hollywood Hills rental. Private investigator Steve Fisher, who's been tracking this case publicly, described the burn cage as something you'd expect to find on a farm, not in a residential neighborhood in the Hollywood Hills. Fisher has suggested the unused equipment may point to a disposal plan that never got executed. That's his interpretation, not an established fact. But the question of why those items were allegedly in that house remains largely unanswered. The question everyone is asking, is Neo Langston the second suspect prosecutors have been circling? Or is he simply a witness who knows something and tried to put 1,200 miles between himself and the grand jury subpoena? I don't know. I mean, it could be really either at this time. We don't know yet. What we do know is that the LAPD wanted him in a courtroom and he wasn't there. Now he's sitting in the Metropolitan Detention Center with a felony hanging over his head. It isn't the first time we've had problems with witnesses in this case. Back on December 10th, prosecutor Beth Silverman came out into the hallway and told Evan Janess that she was going to have the judge issue a body attachment to force what they said at the time was a female witness to testify before the grand jury. That woman was a no-show. She's apparently represented by the same lawyer as David's manager, Robert Morgroth, which is interesting because Morgroth himself spent days on the witness stand. And what did Morgroth have to say? According to what a TMZ reporter overheard in the courthouse hallway, Morgroth told his lawyer that prosecutor Beth Silverman was very pushy about why he didn't call the police. I don't know, because your client has a body in his trunk. And if no one's called them yet, maybe that's on you. But again, we don't know all the context. We don't. Because I could see a world in which you're the manager, you're out on tour, you have people back home saying, hey, this happened. I don't know. I guess it depends who you have in place and who you're hearing the information from. But I could see a world in which one may have assumed the police have already been contacted, so why would I be contacting them myself? Unless it was explicitly said, nobody's called the police yet. Then you got a problem. Morgenroth said he responded by saying it wasn't his responsibility. No. His job was to make sure David's tour kept going. Okay. If he's going to abdicate of responsibility and say, it's not my responsibility to call the police, if you found the body, then it's back on you. I mean, he has knowledge. That could be a problem, legally. But again, it kind of gets the ball back into the court of whoever had that information. Just because you then verbally share that information with other people doesn't mean they are necessarily obligated to contact the police. If you are the first to have the information, maybe it does. It probably depends on the jurisdiction. But whoever is the one who knows the information that's communicating this information to the manager, I think you might be in a little bit more hot water than the manager. The teenage girl's decomposing body reportedly found in his client's car, and the manager's state of defense was that his priority was the tour schedule. It's not really a legal argument. That's a window into how people around David were apparently operating. The court can figure out the legalities of who did what when and what was appropriate and what was illegal and what was not, what was just stupidity. There's a lot of bad acts going on here. Not all of them are going to lead people to the rest of their life in prison. Some may be getting a little bit of time, though. Some may discover just how delicious the food behind bars is that didn't necessarily see themselves getting there because of the bad acts of others that they helped to prop up, if that's how the court sees it. What about David himself? He hasn't said a word publicly since Celeste's body was discovered. Not one statement, not one post. His camp has gone completely dark. The only voices we're hearing are the ones being dragged into court against their will. Let's talk about Celeste Rivas Hernandez, because she's the reason any of this matters. Celeste disappeared from the Lake Elsinore area in 2024. She was last seen April 5th of that year when she was just 13 years old, a child, eighth grade. Her former teacher gave an account to TMZ that's hard to hear. He said, when I taught her, she met this dude on social media. He was a rapper in LA. He came and got her. She ran away from home. She was gone for like a month. The cops found her in Hollywood and brought her back to our school. The teacher didn't name David specifically. He said a rapper in LA, but given that Celeste's body was found in David's car, the implication was clear to those listening. She came back, told people the story, and then disappeared again in May of 24. That was the last time anyone heard from her until the body turned up 17 months later, allegedly. The apparent connection between Celeste and David, while not officially confirmed by investigators, was visible to anyone paying attention. Celeste had the tattoo on her right index finger, which is partially how authorities were able to identify her body. David also has the tattoo on his right index finger. TMZ went back through photos and found that David didn't appear to get that tattoo until after August of 24, after Celeste went missing. Make of that what you will. Her mother told reporters she knew her daughter had a boyfriend named David. She'd never met him. She just knew the name. You know, like you do with your 14-year-old. She's got a boyfriend out in L.A. Yeah, I don't know much about him. They're just kind of doing whatever. She's 14. Yeah, I know. She's living her life. She's 14. She is a child. And apparently some parents like to treat their kids like they're a little older, a little more autonomy than they should have. I don't know. I get kids run away. I get kids are difficult to manage, and I get, you know, keeping one caged is not necessarily an option for everyone or at all in most cases. You can't cage your child. But she, I don't know. Something strikes me as off with the parental relationships here. And I'm not saying anything criminal. I'm not saying, I don't know. I'm just saying that needs to be explored. That really needs to be explored. And maybe she's just the odd duck. Maybe she is the one that they can't get a hold of. And the others, other kids that are grounded and things are going good. And I don't know. I just don't know the answer to that question, but if your kid is doing these sorts of things and running away and not wanting to come back at all, either there's a real big mental illness problem or personality disorder or substance abuse or something that is making that brain work that way, or there's something she's trying to get away from that she'd rather go be with the rapper somewhere else other than where she's at, where her home life does not appear to be the best option for her in her mind. I don't know. Again, her mother told reporters she knew her daughter had a boyfriend named David. She'd never met him. She just knew the name. Celeste DeCambeau's body was found September 8th after workers at Hollywood Tow reported a strong odor coming from a Tesla registered to the singer. Officers opened the front trunk and found the remains in a bag. Law enforcement sources told NBC News that the remains were not intact. She was found one day after what would have been her 15th birthday. The car had reportedly been parked in the Hollywood Hills for weeks. Neighbors complained about the smell. The city finally towed it, and that's how a 15-year-old girl was found, because a Tesla sat in a public street long enough for someone to notice the odor. I don't want to hang on it too long, but you know your daughter is dating some rapper named David in L.A., and she's gone for nearly a year. And you're not knocking on David's door. You're not contacting police going, hey, I think my daughter might be over here with him. She's on video. She's literally on. It wasn't like she wasn't truly there. There's plenty of missing persons cases where they're just gone. Girls showing up on TikToks for a famous person. There's thousands of people seeing her existence and her proof of life after she's missing. And the parents aren't there banging down the door trying to get your 14-year-old back. As a parent of someone close in age, what the fuck is wrong with you? Maybe I'm missing something. Again, that's where it's like, I don't know certain elements of the story, so I don't know how hard they were looking for their daughter other than filing the paperwork. I don't know the dynamics, but I do know this. I'd be part of the fucking story if I were the parent. And I don't know that the story at this point would be my daughter is dead and David is hiding somewhere and we're waiting to figure out who killed the daughter. I would probably be more like the artist is dead, the daughter is alive, and the parent is in prison for murdering whoever was holding captive my daughter. Now, I'm not saying David was holding her captive, but she's a missing child. And you are harboring her. And if I'm the parent going to find my kid, I don't know that I'm making a whole lot of discretionary choices when it comes to getting her back. If someone's in my way and you happen to be in the way of said daughter, I don't know that you're coming out of it alive unless you get the fuck out of my way. I think that's how a lot of parents might feel. So excuse me while I am rather critical of the parental response in this case. again, I could be completely wrong. There may have been a greater response than there was. But what we've been hearing about is what we've been hearing about. So please enlighten me. Enlighten me. What did you do as parents, if you were part of this, or if you know these parents? What did they do to try and find their daughter? I'd love to know the answer to that question. I'm here to stand corrected on my guesses. Because again, these are just guesses. This is my opinion based on what the information is. Maybe they really did, and we're just not hearing about yet. Maybe they really did dig. I'd love to know, because that should be part of the story. If it is, and if it's not, well, then that should be too. David was on tour when the body was discovered. His team's initial statement said he was fully cooperating with authorities. Days later, the tour was canceled. Weeks later, LAPD executed a search warrant at the Hollywood Hills home that he'd been renting. They reportedly seized electronics, personal items. The burn cage and the chainsaw were left, by the way. They were, the PI found those. Why they're there, I don't know. Why that wouldn't be evidence, I don't know. Hey guys, burn cage and a chainsaw. By the house where they found the body that might be dismembered in the trunk. Think this might have something to do with it, guys? Nah, keep going. I don't know. Call me crazy. But you may want to have picked up those items prior to a private investigator getting to them after you've already cleared the scene. By November, sources confirmed David was officially considered a suspect. An LAPD official said David has not been cooperating with detectives. That initial statement about full cooperation hasn't aged particularly well since either. So where does this go from here? Well, the grand jury has been hearing witnesses in the Celeste Rivas case for a while now. And that's going to matter when they vote on indictments. They will. Multiple sources tell TMZ that authorities, including prosecutor Beth Silverman, believe David was involved in the death of Rivas. There was talk in the courtroom hallway that the grand jury could hear more witnesses in February, which we're about on to. So don't expect that indictment like that. This is moving methodically. Keep in mind, coming out of Christmas and holiday break, which is now a month ago. I know, believe it or not, that's a month ago. It looked like maybe he'll be arrested pretty soon. But then they started hearing, oh, they might be doing witnesses January, February. Well, we're into February. So the countdown is on. Neil Langston is now in L.A. custody. The question is whether prosecutors want him as a cooperative witness or as something more. The felony charge gives him leverage. He can either talk or he can sit in a cell and think about whether silence is worth it. Prosecutors have shown they're willing to use body attachment orders to compel testimony. They track this guy across state lines. They're not playing around. And then there's the pattern that's impossible to ignore. David went silent the moment Celeste's body was identified. His manager testified that keeping the tour going was his priority, not calling police. A female witness went into hiding and had to be threatened with arrest. Now Neil Langston got pulled out of Montana because he apparently thought 1,200 miles was far enough to outrun a subpoena. Everyone around David Anthony Burke is either running, refusing to talk, or being dragged into a courtroom. At some point, the circle closes, and right now prosecutors are making it very small. David has not been arrested or charged with any crime. Neil Langston is charged with the failure to appear as a witness, not with any crime related to Celeste's death as of now. All individuals discussed are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. We'll keep reporting on the investigation as it develops. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or in our Substack. The link is in the description. It's on the bottom of your screen right now, right there. See it? HiddenKillers.substack.com. It's there. Check it out. And you can interact with us directly here in the studio through our Substack. Everything is free right now. There's no paywall. And you get our videos a day before they drop on YouTube. So you get everything in advance and you can binge, and there's no ads either. It's like a win-win-win. Win-win-win-win. Or something like that. Check it out. Substack. Link is in the description. And if you have a moment, if you're finding this reporting valuable, or you want to leave your thoughts on the case on Apple Podcasts, do it in the review section. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We'd love to get your thoughts on the case. And some stars. If you like the program, hey, please do show us some love there. We do appreciate that. Signals to others you're finding our reporting valuable, and then it feeds it out to others. So it's a free way to support the program. We do greatly appreciate that review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast. This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
A chainsaw still in its protective sheath. Never used. A burn cage incinerator. The kind you find on a farm for disposing of animal carcasses, you know. It's basically a crematorium. Boxed, unopened, sitting inside a Hollywood Hills rental. That incinerator burns at 1,600 degrees, hot enough to reduce a human body to ash in a matter of hours. And it was delivered to a home of a 20-year-old pop star whose alleged girlfriend's dismembered remains were found in the trunk of his Tesla. A lot of alleged in there. Private investigator Steve Fisher discovered both items while searching the property on behalf of the homeowner. His assessment is the kind of sentence that lands like a gut punch. Whatever happened here, this wasn't a finalized plan. She was not meant to be left in that Tesla. The plan got upended. That's the PI's quote. And that makes this case so disturbing. Not just the horror of what allegedly happened to Celeste Rivas Hernandez, but the shadow of what almost happened or what someone was thinking of having to have happen. If we connect those dots in those specific ways, who knows? Maybe they just really wanted to have the hottest marshmallow roaster on the block, guys, right? And started tree trimming business. The disposal that never came, the tools that sat unused while a body decomposed in the summer heat for over a month, parked on a residential street in the Hollywood Hills until a tow yard worker smelled something wrong and said, guys, you're Sam. It appears someone had a plan, and then for reasons we don't yet know, that plan fell apart. Now a grand jury is putting the pieces together. And according to multiple sources who spoke to TMZ on December 29th, this is no longer an investigative panel just gathering evidence. This grand jury has full authority, allegedly, to indict. Prosecutor Beth Silverman reportedly believes David, legal name David Anthony Burke, was involved in Celeste's death. She's not circling the question anymore. She's building towards a murder charge, allegedly. Now, to be clear, David has not been arrested. He has not been charged with any crime. He remains legally presumed innocent. And I'm going to say now, everything in this story, alleged, all of that stuff. Let's go through what we know. Or what's alleged. Before we do that, do me a quick favor. Please hit subscribe wherever you're watching this or listening to this. Was Apple Podcasts. If you're there, please hit subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate that. YouTube, hit subscribe. And please, in the comment section, let us know what your thoughts are on this very story. And if you want tomorrow's videos today, check out our Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com. You'll get tomorrow's videos today, and you can chat directly with me on there. And, you know, kind of, I'd say almost help produce the show. So get on there. I'd love to talk to people and get your guys' ideas on directions of where we're going with this, what your guys' are thinking, what stories you exclusive ways to for us to communicate there on our Substack. So if you want to interact there, yeah, please do join us, hiddenkillers.substack.com. Okay, so again, to be clear, David has not been arrested. I am not here to tell you David killed Celeste Rivas. I don't know that, neither do you. What I can tell you is what prosecutors are presenting to a grand jury, or what we're hearing they may be presenting to a grand jury, what investigators have found, and why this case isn't going away. More witnesses are expected to testify through February. This won't move fast. Grand jury proceedings rarely do, especially when prosecutors are threading together circumstantial cases. But the shift matters. A month ago, reports suggested this was purely fact-finding, subpoenas to force uncooperative witnesses to talk. No indictment on the table. That apparently has changed. The question may no longer be whether charges are coming, but when and how severe. Here's where we get into the people around the artist, formerly known as the machinery. The handlers whose job it is to keep the train moving no matter what's on the tracks. Robert Morgenroth. I always say this name wrong. Morgenroth. We're going with Morgenroth. I think that's how you say it. Is David's day-to-day manager. He's also the general manager of Mogul Vision, the singer's record label, and president of Zara Brothers Travel, the touring company. It's kind of a jack of all trades. When the grand jury convened earlier this month, he was on the stand for days. And when he walked out into the courthouse hallway, a TMZ reporter was there. He was there and was talking to his attorney, Evan Janess, recounting what happened inside. And he said Beth Silverman was very pushy. I don't know if he said it quite like that, but that was the quote is, about why he didn't call the police. His answer, according to what the reporter overheard, I said, I feel like I didn't have the responsibility to do that and just wanted to continue with the tour. Kind of a weird response, if that's what it was, if that's what his response was to finding out that there's a body in the trunk of your artist's car. That's not my job. You know, at that point, you may have thought maybe somebody already did. But I guess you'd have to kind of get the context of the call. I don't know the answer to that. Unless somebody's like, dude, there's a body in the trunk of this car. I don't know what to do. If that's the situation, you probably are aware no one has made that call. But if you're like, hey, we just want you to know this is going on, you may already be thinking, well, someone else surely called the police. I'm just throwing that out there. Because there's two sides to every story, and it's really easy to jump on one and go, what's wrong with you? And it may be a what's wrong with you moment, but, you know, context is everything. So let's just let this sink for a second. A teenage girl's decomposing body is discovered in a vehicle registered to his client, and this man's response by his own account was that calling the police wasn't his job. His job was keeping the tour going. True, it is. Protect the schedule, roll the bus. Hopefully you are, the thought process was that somebody else already did that. We don't know what he was thinking though. This is what the infrastructure around this celebrity looks like when something goes wrong. The instinct isn't truth, it isn't accountability. It's containment in most cases, it's optics, it's making sure the next show happens on time while a dead child sits in an impound lot waiting to be identified. David's withered world tour was still rolling when Celeste's body was found on September 8th. He didn't cancel the remaining dates until September 19th, 11 days later, after his name was publicly connected to the case and the pressure became kind of impossible to outrun from. Let's talk about what Steve Fisher has pieced together on the timeline, because this is where the case starts to crystallize. Fisher, the private investigator, was hired by the owner of the Hollywood Hills property where David had been living. The homeowner wanted to understand what the hell happened under his roof. So Fisher has been documenting everything, and unlike law enforcement, he's been willing to share what he's found. According to Fisher, the last confirmed date on which Celeste Rivas Hernandez was seen alive was January 2nd of 2025. Using surveillance footage and digital records, he tracked the movement of David's Tesla around the neighborhood starting in May. The car was parked in a few different spots over the following weeks. Then, on July 29th, it was left in its final location on Bluebird Avenue. Then comes July 29th. That's the same day, or immediately before, David reportedly boarded a tour bus to kick off his concert dates. The Tesla sat there for over a month. Neighbors reportedly saw it moved a few times over the summer, but kept it returning to the same area. Then on August 27th, authorities marked the position of the tires. On September 3rd, a parking citation was finally issued for violating the 72-hour rule. 2 days later, it was towed to a Hollywood impound lot. On September 8th, the day after what would have been Celeste's 15th birthday, workers at that lot reported a foul odor. Officers arrived. They found her remains in the trunk, wrapped in a plastic bag. She'd been dead, according to investigators, for several weeks, possibly since spring. So here's the picture. As investigators appear to see it, a teenage girl missing since 24, allegedly in a relationship with a rising pop star 6 years her senior, ends up dead and dismembered in a car registered him. The car sits in the neighborhood for months and while he goes on tour, and when the body is finally discovered, the people closest to him scramble not to cooperate, but to keep things moving. The grand jury isn't hearing from Morgranth. There are other witnesses. They aren't just hearing from him, I should say. There's other witnesses as well. And at least one of them isn't willing to talk either. In December, the proceedings hit a wall. A female witness, who we still don't know who she is, failed to show up for her scheduled testimony. Prosecutor Silverman walked out of the courtroom visibly frustrated and approached Evan Janess in the hallway. Janess notably is the same attorney representing Morgranth. Silverman told Janess she was requesting a body attachment. That's a legal order that would allow authorities to arrest the witness and physically bring her before the grand jury to testify. The woman has been subpoenaed. She didn't appear, and now Silverman was done asking nicely. We don't know who this witness is, but the fact that she shares legal counsel with Morgranth suggests she's in David's orbit. Someone close enough to the matter, close enough that prosecutors believe her testimony is worth compelling her by force. Meanwhile, David has been making moves that suggest he's bracing for impact. And let me say this. Whether he has anything to do with this or not, there's nothing wrong with bracing for impact. Especially if you know it's coming at you, but you know you can fight it because you are innocent. Brace. Anyone would do it. I'm not faulting him for these moves. Unless, of course, he has something to do with this, then it's really shitty. But if you're innocent, you'd probably be making these same moves as well. Within days of the September 17th police raid on his Hollywood rental, he transferred ownership of two Houston-area homes to his mother. The deeds were moved on September 18th and the 22nd, according to legal documents that were obtained by TMZ. Both properties had been held under something called a Thorn Rose Trust, a name connected to his 2023 EP, Petals to Thorns. Timing is hard to ignore. One day after police execute a search warrant, he starts shifting assets out of his name. He also broke his lease on that Hollywood house. You know, the one where they found the mini crematorium?
Reportedly, a $20,000 a month rental and moved out by the end of September. Movers were seen hauling boxes. The homeowner confirmed the early termination through his attorney. Reports indicate that David has rented a high pro that he's retained rather high profile criminal defense counsel, though specifics have yet to be completely confirmed. You don't lawyer up at that level because you're expecting this to go away quietly. You do it because you're preparing for war. David hasn't spoken publicly since the case broke. His social media has gone dark. His tour is canceled. His deluxe album rollout for Withered was put on hold indefinitely. The young artist who built his career on TikTok virally and streaming numbers. Yeah, he's vanished from public view. Well, a prosecutor now works to put him in front of a jury. Here's what we still don't know, and it matters. The cause of death remains listed as deferred. The Los Angeles County Medical Examiner completed an autopsy but is waiting on toxicology results before issuing a final determination. Until that report comes back, this isn't officially classified as a homicide. It's a death investigation. Harvey Levin, the TMZ founder and longtime legal analyst, made this point on his podcast. Toxicology could change everything. If Celeste died from a drug overdose accidentally, then the question becomes what happened afterwards. Dismembering a body and hiding it is a crime. It's mutilation of a corpse and it's serious, but it's not murder. It's not manslaughter. It's a fundamentally different charge with fundamentally different consequences. And he's right. Prosecutors, though, aren't waiting for that answer. They're moving forward with witness testimony, physical evidence, and a timeline that paints an ugly picture. A chainsaw, a burn cage, the asset transfers, the manager who prioritized tour logistics over calling the police. One could say it all fits in this bucket. One could say it fits them over here. One can say it's a little bit of everything. Based on their actions, they don't appear to be treating this like an accident with bad decisions attached. But that's the optics as of now. They appear to be treating it like a killing with a cover-up that failed. But again, it's important. It's important to keep an open mind on any case. Just because the prosecutor is going to say or take us down this path doesn't mean that's always the most accurate path to travel. So keep an open mind. At the center of all this is a girl who never should have been in that world in the first place. That's one of the biggest tragedies of all of this. Again, a system that doesn't work. Celeste Rivas Hernandez was 13 years old when she was first reported missing from Lake Elsinore in April of 24. She was found, returned home, and disappeared again. Her family said she was on her way to see a movie with someone named David. We don't know if it's that one, but that's all the family knew. Friends of David reportedly told TMZ they believe Celeste was 19, a USC student. That's how she was introduced to them anyways, they claim. That's what's made it acceptable for her to be around. The concerts, the events, and the inner circle. She wasn't a child, they thought. She was an adult, just a girlfriend. She'd have turned 15 on September 7th of 25. Her body was discovered the next day. She never made it to that birthday. She had a matching tattoo with them, according to reports. A finger pressed to the lips. The silence held for a long time. It held through her disappearance, through months of her body allegedly sitting in that Tesla, cooking. Through the early days of the investigation, when David was still reportedly cooperating and his team was still managing the narrative, but the silence is breaking now, not because anyone in that circle came forward voluntarily, not because someone's conscience finally cracked. It's breaking because the tow yard worker smelled decay, because a prosecutor won't stop asking questions, because a grand jury is no longer just gathering facts. They are preparing to act. An indictment isn't here yet. The timeline stretches into February, maybe longer. But the trajectory looks kind of clear. David built his career on a song called Romantic Homicide, a moody, melancholy track about love and loss that blew up on TikTok and turned a teenager making Fortnite montage music into signed artists with millions of streams. Now he's facing the possibility of being charged in a real one. And somewhere in that Hollywood Hills house, a chainsaw and a burn cage reportedly sit as evidence of whatever was supposed to happen next, but didn't. The plan got upended, according to the PI. The girl stayed in the trunk. Now the whole thing is unraveling in a Los Angeles courtroom, one witness at a time. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on our Substack channel, hiddenkillers.substack.com, or on YouTube. If you're watching us there, I'd love to get your thoughts. We do read our comments everywhere, and wherever it is you're listening or watching us, please do press subscribe so you don't miss any of our reporting on this and the many cases that we're following for you right here. We do greatly appreciate that. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. Very much appreciate that as well. Helps signal to other folks that you're appreciating our reporting, and then others find us. So thank you again in advance for doing that. Looking forward to getting your thoughts. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's move over to the David case. This is getting more traction, if you will, and supposedly an indictment may be coming for David in the coming weeks, months. It may take a little while. What the physical evidence, investigative timeline, and deferred cause of death tell us, former FBI agent Jennifer Coffendaffer is joining us to break this down. That chainsaw that was never used, found in the garage of the rental home, the burn cage incinerator still in the box, a Tesla parked on a residential street for over a month, and a teenage girl's body decomposing in the trunk, and a cause of death that still officially remains deferred. Well, a grand jury hears witnesses and more witnesses. The David case has all the hallmarks of a circumstantial prosecution. No eyewitnesses as of yet, no confession, no official homicide ruling. The prosecutors are not waiting. They're building something. Jennifer is joining us to break all of this down. Let's go where things are at right now. Let's start with the physical evidence found inside the Hollywood rental, which we keep learning about every single week. There seems to be a new little piece that was in that garage sale. We have the at-home crematorium.
Let's go back to that for just a second, Tony. Yeah. What would this be used for? Because I'm not up on
like on a farm or something. If you're, incinerating, animals that have died, like there are practical uses for it. Rather than burying a cow, you could do this, but not typically in a Hollywood Hills home. And a chainsaw still with the protective sheath still on. PI Steve Fisher said the plan got upended. That's his opinion from an investigative standpoint. What do unused tools like this tell you about intent versus execution, Jen?
Well, first of all, I just have to joke about this a little bit from the standpoint of what was there, a two for one? In other words,
I don't know.
For her to be dismembered, I believe a chainsaw could have been used, but it might not have been used because you can also use hacksaws. You can use axes. There are many other devices that you can use, especially if you're a musician and you're really not akin to the whole chainsaw. For those of you who have used chainsaws, it's not like you just get them out and you press a button and they go boom. They're more complicated than that. I mean, some of them take gas. Some of them are electric. Some of them you have to pull the cord really, really, really hard. I mean, there's a lot of issues as you might have ordered one up and said, whoa, this is too much. Also the mess. Maybe on the burn cage, you said, well, what the hell? I don't need a burn cage. I have a Tesla frunk. Mm-hmm. Just in there, right? So to me, when I look at that, and of course it wasn't taken, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't taken. And so law enforcement, first of all, if that would have been my search, I take it because I do believe that it could have had some intent with this, and they changed their mind on how they were going to dispose of the body and how they were going to dismember the body. right? But yeah. I take it just to show that, especially if the receipts, for example, I would trace back to the receipts for both to see if I can throw that in my timeline, how that matches up with the disappearance. I think they serve as investigative clues, but they didn't want to go there with that. And I do think that was a mistake.
It is rather bizarre to find that in your garage of a rental that one once. They're expensive items too. One would think if you're vacating the property and you purchase these items, you might take them with you. There might be a reason you bought them. And
well, especially if you had a body sitting in a trunk somewhere.
Maybe Jackie Fulford from Donna Adelson's came over. Maybe she's running a mobile crematorium and law practice now too. You know, where it's just like, hey, I sing Tom Petty songs. I do Tom Petty lookalikes, and we can cremate something in your garage and do some tree trimming at the same time. Maybe that's what's going on here. But it's rather bizarre to have these items. How does this read to you? Because it doesn't really read to me like the work of a calculated killer. It kind of feels more like we have a dead body near us, Weekend at Bernie's style. Now, what do we do with it? And we add that into the earlier reporting that TMZ still stands behind, the medical examiner saying they believe the body had been frozen or the remains had been frozen at some period in time. So maybe she was in a freezer for a while. And then they thought, well, what are we going to do with this? We'll put her in the trunk for now. Go on Amazon, buy the incinerator, get a chainsaw. I mean, it feels like shit they saw on TV shows, and they just kind of had a credit card with a large limit and started buying things that they thought may work in their plan of whatever discombobulated direction it was going.
Well, you know, from the beginning, from our discussions of this, I mean, I've always said, these are not pros.
No.
Something that they're throwing together. And the hardest part about murder is what to do with the body. That is just a fact. That's where you have people who are not pros and they just panic. And they, what are we going to do with it? And, I'll draw your attention to the case of Harmony Montgomery. I mean, Dad put her in a duffel bag and walked around with her.
Yeah.
To work with her. So, you know, it's not this odd to me that they would be sort of on the fly trying to figure out, oh my God, still, what are we going to do with this body? And so it makes some sense to me. And I think because there's other people in the crosshairs now, right? Mm-hmm. They talk about other potential suspects, which again, from the first moment you and I have discussed this, I've always said, you're not going to do this by yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the type of guy that's going to be like, oh my God, help. You know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and I want people next to me doing it. So I think we're going to get all the disgusting and despicable details.
The cause of death, we don't know yet. There is, you know, still they're trying to figure that out. We don't know if drugs were in the system. And I think that's going to be an interesting point. And I think it's going to be argued in both directions completely. If there are charges against David or somebody at some point, because one could say, yeah, she was doing drugs. And does it mean it killed her? No. Does it mean she was murdered? No. We doesn't really mean much. I mean, if they're going to go down the road of, well, she was on drugs and she OD'd and that's what killed her, that's, you know, that's probably end up being the defense if there are drugs in the system. If there are drugs in the system, one could also say, yeah, she was on drugs. And somebody murdered her too. I mean, both can be true. Not simultaneously, but one or the other. But just because there's drugs in her system, and I would almost venture to guess there probably will be, it doesn't mean that she OD'd either. I'm wondering if there's drugs in the system, if that's going to be an out for anybody, if there may have actually been a homicide here. One can just say, see, she OD'd. Or is there anything that can be done if, say, drugs do come back in the system to show that the drugs were responsible for the death versus just in existence in her genetic makeup or what was left of it?
Well, first of all, I couldn't agree more with you that this is the defense that's going to be taken. Not that they did anything to cause her death, but rather that she died and they just didn't know what to do. So they panicked and dismembered her and threw her in the trunk. Mm-hmm. But to your question, which is, Jen, can anything be done to prove really how she died? There's a forensic anthropologist, I believe, working hard and fast on this, and it's not an easy process, right? They're going through everything, trying to figure out how she died and to have an opinion based on the scientific proof left by this body, these remains, these 70 pounds, which is all that was left. They're going to be looking for everything from cut marks, right, to show tool marks that would have been used to dismember rather than she just fell apart like the turkeys we talked about. We didn't end up moving to
Cornish hens.
The Cornish hens, right? Yes. Did it fall apart or were tools used? They're going to be able, I think, to make decisions about all of that. But will they get down to the cause of death? That is going to be interesting to see. I have some faith. But then you mount that, Tony, with what was discussed. What was discussed? Yeah. What was planned? What paper was there? You know, if we're to believe the private investigator, he says there were plans there. You know, that's what he says. And they just weren't followed through. Was this part of, you know, he was really talking about the chainsaw in the cage and now he's slow rolling and decided to come out with that? I don't know. But nevertheless, did they discuss? I tell you, these people discuss, and he did everything online and so much through his communications. I'm hoping that gets unraveled in that way.
If there was like really good, solid digital evidence, a good digital trail here of, you know, talking about, hey, let's get the burn cage to get rid of Celeste or something back and forth that like truly points to them trying to hide a body or David being involved in this process in some way, shape or form, would we not already have seen an arrest by now? The fact that we don't have an arrest yet, does that tell us that maybe this digital trail was covered up pretty well?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, you can discuss anything you want almost.
Yeah.
But do you have the facts, the hard evidence to support or corroborate what you all talked about? And that's what law enforcement wants to do. Look, this case is under a microscope. It's going to continue to be. And I don't know exactly who his counsel is. In other words, he doesn't have anybody famous yet. I'm sure Alan Jackson is waiting in the wings, just gnawing.
He is so busy.
He can get more busy. But nevertheless, I would expect a high profile attorney to be involved in this. He still makes a lot of money. Look at the downloads. Just go to any of his songs. There's just still sites rocketing.
Yeah.
So he's got the money to do it. And I think they just want to make sure this is perfect. You know, their investigation is perfect as it can be.
I'm thinking they need to get Jackie Fulford in there again. Talk about a good high profile attorney that knows how to win cases. That's who they need.
I'm so curious. I want to do this while we're live as an alibi here. I'm going on Amazon right now on my phone. Can you buy a burn cage on Amazon? I don't
know.
Incinerator? Is that what you would type in?
You're probably going to like Tractor Supply or something.
It's just bizarre to me. Oh my gosh. Incinerator burn barrel. Yes.
Yeah, you sure can.
You can get anything on Amazon.
Yeah, you know? Really can. Wow.
Yeah.
There goes my algorithm.
There are practical purposes.
There are. There really are.
True.
And most of them don't involve anything to do with burning a body. So.
Not a human body anyway.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.